Apocalypse, end times, desolation. Today's passage from Isaiah is from four chapters called the Isaiah Apocalypse, and they contain horrific pictures and also great promises of the end times, of judgment on earth. In chapter 24, just before this, the earth is withered, polluted. The people, rich and poor, are scattered and suffering. Most are dead, the rest are starving. The covenant with God, the relationship itself is broken, and the earth is broken, torn asunder. These chapters also include great hymns of praise, like our reading today, where God is exalted for being with his people in times of trouble, a refuge in distress. Written about two centuries after the prophet Isaiah himself, these passages were added and inserted when the people came back from Babylon. There was at that time a growing vision of a universal God, one true God, and all peoples, all nations would gather on this holy place, this mountain, Mount Zion, and worship together the one true God. Right now, in this time and place, the people are waiting. They are longing. They're not there yet. But they can see it. They can taste it. They even know what they're going to say. On that day, they will say, "Lo, this is our God. This is the Lord on whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." Psalm 23 is so beloved that we get it three times in our lectionary this year. You'll hear it three times. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Probably many of you know that by heart. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." God's people again are saying, "Yes, God, we know you're with us. We know you're with us even in the darkest valley." Again, there is that image of God with the table spread before us. Again, the certainty that God will be with us. We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Or as the New Revised Standard Version says, "for our whole lives." We will dwell with God for our whole lives. Also, what the King James Version calls the valley of the shadow of death, the original Hebrew likens more to a ravine or a gorge, a dark, gloomy place where danger lurks. What are our dark and dangerous places today? I-5 at rush hour? Yeah. Addiction? Cancer? The valley of the shadow of death? Even death? Notice the psalmist has no expectation that he can avoid that valley, that dark place, the danger, only that God will be there, providing comfort, spreading a table. The morning I sat down to write this sermon, I opened an email that said Mary had died. The death of my friend hit me hard, even though I was expecting it. Mary was in hospice care at home, the end of a tough 3-year battle with cancer, ovarian cancer. The day after Mary got home from the hospital, I went to visit her. It was 1 week after surgeons had removed a cyst from my own ovary. I was a pretty big one. I should have noticed it, and I did not. Benign. It was benign. I score 0 for being observant, and I bat 1,000 for pure dumb luck. Why? Why Mary and not me? Why the 59 in Las Vegas? Why the 40 and still counting from the California fires? None of our lessons today tell us why. Why are the people of Israel oppressed and suffering? Why in Matthew do some not come to the wedding feast, not come when called? Why is Paul, who's persecuted and in prison, saying, "Rejoice"? Is your head exploding yet? Makes your head explode. Or if you're like Charlie Brown, it makes your tummy hurt, right? Or sometimes it gets you right here, the tension, and life is truly a pain in the neck. Don't worry, says Paul. Don't worry about it. Don't try and get your head around it. It's beyond our understanding. Stand together. Do the true right thing. Remember whose you are, and God will be with you. Peace that passes understanding. Peace beyond rational comprehension. Beyond that, will be with you. It's not a head job. It's a heart job. Sometimes it's a long, hard journey to get from here down to here. And sometimes when we get to our hearts, they're a little bit broken. And they still need help to wait on God. And they still need help to hear this gospel news. This news of Jesus. This news of Emmanuel. The ultimate, I am with you. I am with you. God is here, in the body of Christ, here at the table spread before us, and here among us, in each of you, here in each other. Annie Dillard writes in Pilgrim at Tinker Creek, "Beauty and grace are performed, whether or not we will or sense them. Whether or not we will or sense them. The least we can do is try to be there. We need each other to hear the gospel word. We need to be here together in community, as Paul urged Euodia and Syntyche to be. Not because we always agree, not because God is not acting outside these walls, but because we need each other. We need to speak and hear that word for each other and from each other, to help us show up for the beauty and the grace that will be performed. We need to be the body together, nourished by the word and by the sacrament. That is the very root of our faith. I am with you." Kim, can I have that slide? All right. So ignore for a minute the tall, good-looking guy, and look at the trees and the roots. The roots on the hike up to Heather Lake are so thick that they carpet the forest floor. And they're so intertwined, you can't tell where they start and where they end. You can't tell even which tree they're coming from or going to. Next one. Thank you, Kim. The quaking aspen gets its name from the trembling leaves that turn yellow in the fall. And they are propagated through the root system. The quaking aspen is one single root. It forms extensive colonies, but it's one living organism, literally one tree. All trees in the colony are one. The largest of the colonies is called Pando, which is Latin for I spread. I spread. It's located near Fish Lake in Utah. It weighs 13 million pounds. It is 80,000 years old. It is the heaviest and oldest living organism in the world. It is one body. It is one mind. Children who come to the communion rail here, who don't yet take communion, are told something special at Our Savior's. I had never heard it before. They're told this: "You are a child of God, and God will never let you go." Hallelujah. God will never let you go. They need to hear that incredible blessing from us. I need to hear it, too. That's how they learn it. That's how I learn it. In a hug, in a word of blessing, in a shared meal, especially in this shared meal that God has spread before us of grace and redemption and healing and life. Come, the table is spread and God is with us. Amen.